Underwriting support for Between the Stacks comes from Lakeville Books and Stationery, 329 Main Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, offering a wide selection of illustrated books, fine writing needs, and more. On the web, lakevillebooks.com. Robin Hood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hi, everybody. I'm Meg Scher. I'm the director of the David M. Hunt Library in Falls Village, Connecticut, and I'm here with Leslie Battis, the assistant director of the Norfolk Library. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Meg.
And we're excited to talk about summer reading. I realized the other day when I was signing my kids up for after school that there are less than 4 weeks of school left.
Isn't that startling?
It is. It is indeed. And so we've been getting ready at the library for months, as I'm sure you guys have too.
We have, yes. Yep.
So let's start off with what do you have planned at Norfolk, Leslie?
Well, this year the theme is Color Your World, and our children's librarian, Eileen Fitzgibbons, has planned a program with ways for kids to add color to their lives.
Oh, nice.
So they'll explore art and science mostly and see ways that art and science can enrich their lives. Our summer reading program runs for 7 weeks. It starts on Monday evenings, and it starts June 16th and runs through July 28th. The kickoff event is on Monday, June 16th, and it's with Science Heroes. They have a program that's The Adventures of the Missing Color.
Nice.
And they present an interactive story with science experiments that demonstrate the aspects of the story. So we get the color and we get the science for that one.
Awesome.
Our other events in June are A Bee's Life by Humblebee Honey. And that program teaches kids about pollinators and flowers. And we also have Arts for Learning presenting a program of movement arts with hula hoops.
Which, oh, nice.
We had last year, and it was very popular, and I'm really bad at it.
You learned something about yourself. I've tried to hula hoop recently, too, and it's not as easy as I remembered.
We also have our reading challenges, such as, read outside or check out a biography. And our participants will receive a reading log that's designed by local artist Erica Crowfoot.
Oh, nice.
And then they can keep track of the challenges and, maintain their sense of reading, through the summer. And so we're still fleshing some things out, but that is the gist of what we were doing. How about you, Meg?
Oh, that sounds so great. So I know that there's always, there's two, I don't know if you've experienced this, Leslie, and maybe you don't work so closely with Eileen, but there are always two different themes. There's one that comes from the Connecticut State Library.
Yes.
There's an iRead. So we went with the other theme this year. So the theme that we're working with is Level Up.
Yes.
Level up your reading. And so Brittany Spear-Barron, my youth services coordinator, one of the things that she's doing on that theme is she's running card games on Friday afternoons from 3 to 5. We start on the 20th of June, and she'll be teaching kids different card games. And I love that she found a way to bring the Level Up theme into a screen-free activity.
Yes, that's great.
Right? I was really excited about that. So I know August 1st is Mahjong Day. We have a staff person who loves Mahjong and was running Mahjong for a while at the library, so that'll be one of them. She's going back to spit and spoons and all kinds
of...
Yeah, so I'm really excited about that. Also, we have a garden with the Kellogg School next door. So she runs a garden club on Wednesdays at 3:30. It's an intergenerational program. We're happy to have friends of all ages come play in the garden. And this year she's doing some really cool food-focused things, so rainbow wraps, picking things out of the garden and making your own wraps and a bunch of different herb activities. So that's exciting.
Yes,
our summer reading kickoff starts the day after yours, so Tuesday, June 17th. And Brittany runs a really fun party. There's ice cream sundaes. There's a big boombox and bubbles and a scavenger hunt all around the library, and kids get to pick up their reading logs. We do reading a number of pages. You get a stamp for every 10 or 20 pages, and then you get to earn, you know, earn stamps towards different prizes. We have a variety of really great prizes, which are really fun, and it gives kids a goal for their reading. And another, I was asking Brittany, which programs are you the most excited about? And the one that immediately jumped out of her mouth, and I love this because she's a dog person, on Thursday, June 26th at 3:30, we're going to host the Connecticut Humane Society for a program, also intergenerational, called Beyond the Breed, where they talk about dog DNA and what makes different breeds of dogs the way they are.
Oh, that's great. What a great idea.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. And we have some really great things. Erica Crowfoot is coming to do plywood bugs with us. We're always excited when we can get her in here to do some really fun art.
She's great.
Yeah, she is. And that's on July 2nd at 3:30. We're also having a wizard school magic workshop on July 8th. We have an all-ages modern calligraphy workshop on July 17th. So all of these are going to be up on our website, and people can check them out. But there's a lot of great things for kids throughout the summer.
Sounds like you will be busy.
Yes, Brittany is very busy, and I am very grateful that, you know, I'm sure as you know, she starts planning so early. You know, if you want to get people, you have to start planning really early, and it also gives her the opportunity to start talking it up to kids when she goes to the school to do outreach and get them excited about coming to the library over the summer.
Very true.
Yeah. Great. Well, we're both going to have busy, exciting summers, and I can't wait to check in about it when we're in the midst of it.
Yes.
Leslie, what are some of the most requested books at Norfolk this week?
Well, the book with the most holds on it is The Emperor of Gladness by Ocean Vuong. That has a bunch of holds.
Oh, and we haven't gotten that yet.
Yeah, I think we just got it, and then, like, the madness ensued.
Right.
And then a couple other popular ones are We Do Not Part by Han Kong. I'm not sure I said that right. And The Lost House by Melissa Larson. I haven't read that one, but it looks really interesting.
Oh, nice.
So what's popular for you?
Well, we've had a couple of patrons asking for Heartwood by Amity Gage, so much so that I had to go out and order it, which is great. I love it when patrons come and ask for what they want to read because, you know, it gives me a chance to really understand what our patrons want. And if we don't have it and I can get it for them, I'm really happy to. And the other thing that's still been, and it just popped back up on the bestsellers list, The Service Berry by Robin Wall Kimmerer. Yeah. We have two copies, and I can't keep them on the shelf.
Isn't it amazing? That's so durable.
Yeah, it is. And it's such a little book, and people seem to be really excited to engage with it.
Yes.
Which is awesome. It's been on my nonfiction audiobook hold, and I'll get it next year or something, but that's okay.
I think we have a copy here. Maybe I can slip it over to you.
Oh, that would be very nice. Thank you. Leslie, what have you been reading?
I just finished a very interesting book. It's The Boxcar Librarian by Brianna Labusque.
Oh, I wanted to read that. I can't wait to hear about it.
Yes, anything that says library, I'm always like, ooh, what's that? It's a historical fiction set in Montana in two timelines, 1926 and 1936, and it's inspired by the history of Missoula's boxcar library. So there really was a boxcar library.
Oh, cool.
Yes. So I was interested in the book because of the title, but also because we have five of the original American Guide series books, and that is one of the other theme of this book. So one of them is the woman, Alice Munro, who converts a boxcar to a library, and it delivers books to workers in the copper mines. And then in 1936, the Federal Writers Project sends a woman to Montana to work on the state's American Guide series books. And those are the travel books intended to put the nation's writers to work during the Depression.
Right.
And we have five of those original books. And I really like those books because they represent a slice of history. And the maps don't have any major highways. The write-ups of the towns, the interviews with some of the people, they're really so interesting.
Awesome.
And so what I saw, a book that combined both of those two things, I was very excited. And it was interesting for me to read about how those American Guide Series books were made, with the interviews, the photographs, driving around Montana in 1936 on questionable roads, and all weather. So I really did enjoy that book. I just finished it a couple days ago with them.
Oh, awesome. That sounds great. I'm going to put that on my to-be-read list for sure.
Yes. And what about you?
So I just finished one of my nonfiction audiobooks that I really enjoyed. I just listened to Legacy, A Black Physician Reckons with Racism in Medicine by Uche Blackstock. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Blackstock was raised by a mom who was also a Black physician, and her sister, I think, becomes a physician. And it really talks about her childhood, how she came to go into medicine. She went to Harvard, then she went to Harvard Medical School, and the systematic racial disparities that she runs into, both in providing health care for people of color and also as she gets into academic medicine and trying to talk about these racial disparities and do studies on them and really bring them to the forefront of academic medicine. And in the end, she's basically asked to leave her job or pushed out of her job for trying to do that work.
Wow, shades of 2025.
Yeah, and it really, it was disheartening to read. And what she does is she then becomes a consultant to specifically talk about these racial disparities, and she's able to build herself a new job, a new career consulting on these things. And one of the things I thought was really interesting, the book was released, I think, last year, and she talks a lot about COVID and how that was when she shifted from being an academic medical professional to working in her neighborhood urgent care. And so she talks a lot about the racial disparities in COVID. She was in New York City during COVID and what she saw and how people were treated, both medically and by their healthcare providers as Black people during the pandemic in an urban center. And it was really, it was fascinating. It was disheartening. It is also really wonderful to know that someone is doing this work in the world.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and I found her to be, she read the audiobook. I always enjoy it when the author reads the audiobook because you get such a feel for them and their voice. And so I really, really enjoyed that and highly recommend it. I've been having a really good time kind of diving into different nonfiction topics that maybe I wouldn't otherwise through these different audiobooks. That's been great.
I think the audiobook that I enjoyed the most that was nonfiction was Angela's Ashes, because it was read by Frank McCourt.
Oh, nice.
And with his accent, he does the different dialects, and he sings. It just added a lot to that book, so I understand what you're saying about that.
Yeah, I'll have to put that one on my list, too. And in terms of fiction that I've been reading, so I recently became an Emily Henry fan, which, like, I'm kind of embarrassed about, but that's okay, because I'm trying to expand what I'm reading in terms of genres, both for me personally to stretch myself as a reader and because I want to be able to recommend things to patrons and get patrons also to engage in new books and new genres. So I have a younger 20-something that works at the library, and I've been having her pick out different romance books. So Emily Henry is my, like, foray into romance. And her new book is called Great Big Beautiful Life, and it's a little different than other things that she's written. She follows these two different writers who are competing to write a memoir of this reclusive socialite who's in her elder years. And they both, one of the main character, whose name I can't remember right now, finds the woman and goes down to this tiny Georgian sea town to talk to her. And then the man gets called down by her. And as the book continues, you find more out about this woman and why did she hide and what's going on with her. And at the end, the twist brought it together beautifully, and I totally didn't see it coming. And I enjoyed it very much.
Very good. That sounds like a nice summer read.
Totally. It was a great escape, right? I've been trying to balance that, where there's something that I look forward to reading before I go to bed that kind of takes me into a different place.
Yes, I understand. Good job.
Leslie, let's move on from books to events. What's happening at your library?
Well, we have a busy June starting up. We have, let's see, on Saturday, June 7th, from 4 to 6 p.m., we have a 15th anniversary reception to honor Mark Scarborough and the Norfolk Library Book Group.
Oh, nice.
Over the course of 15 years, Mark has led the group through 192 books.
Wow, that's incredible.
It really is, yes. The book group went online during COVID and has stayed that way with participants from around the Northeast and abroad. So quite an accomplishment, and we are going to celebrate that with a cake, and people are coming in that are from other states that enjoy this, and we're going to see Mark and in person for the first time.
Awesome.
So that'll be fun. And then the next day, June 8th at 2 p.m., we have an artist talk with Sophie Eisner, whose works are on display for the month of June at the library. And she'll take us on a deep dive into her show, which is called Holding Patterns. Her works on display include hollow forms made of bent sheet metal, like a sculpture.
Cool.
And then upholstered velvet panels that look like painting, sort of like wall sculptures. It's very cool.
Nice.
And so she will explain how she does that to us. And what I liked was what she said at the end is that the show explores themes of holding, care, and protection, and the stories that linger within objects.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And then on June 18th, we will celebrate Juneteenth by sharing poems written by Amanda Gorman.
Oh, nice.
And the book that we're going to, it was formerly titled The Hill We Climb and Other Poems.
Mm.
It's since been re-released as Call Us What We Carry. And so we are going to, I've lost my spot. Oh, in the Call Us What We Carry, Gorman explores history, language, and identity. And she wrote The Hill We Climb was in response to the Capitol attack.
Right.
And she read that at the presidential election that followed. And then there's all these other poems about hope and healing. And I do love her poetry, and I'm looking forward to that event.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And what about your library?
So I mentioned last week, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention it again, that our homegrown plant sale takes place on Saturday and Sunday of this weekend, May 17th and 18th from 9 to 3. People have been, all of our plants are donated. It's incredible. They come from the community. People grow things for us. They divide things. And the generosity of the community is incredible. I think I've received 50 plants this morning alone. So please make sure to stop by. Also, a little plug for my children who will be having a lemonade stand. Some of the proceeds will be donated back to the library.
Very nice.
And we have next Thursday, May 22nd at 5:30, our current art wall exhibition is an artist named Anne Krauss, and it's called I Collect Clouds. So she'll be doing an art talk that Thursday evening. And if you haven't been in here to see the show, it is exquisite. It's all different versions of clouds. Some have landscape in them, some don't. Lots of different landscapes, different times of day. And it is so beautiful and calming. Been really enjoying working alongside it in the library. So I highly recommend that. And our next exhibit, I'm really excited about Scott Reinhardt. He's half-time in Brooklyn and half-time in Sharon. He used to be a data image maker. I don't remember exactly what you call it for the New York Times. And he's a cartographer. So his exhibit is called Here, 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 and he is doing amazing things with maps around the northwest corner. It's going to be really incredible. So we're going to have the reception for that exhibit on June 7th from 5 to 7, and everyone should try to make it in here for that because it is going to be amazing and really different, which I'm excited about. Something, you know, a different kind of art for sure.
Yes. I love maps, so I'm going to
I've
written
good.
That
Leslie,
down.
Oh, good, Leslie, you'll have to come.
Yeah,
yes.
I love maps. That's great.
Yeah, please do. And one last thing, I always like to do a Pride Month event, and we're partnering with Out in the Corner, which is a LGBTQIA+ advocacy organization based here in Litchfield County, and we are bringing local author Eric Schnall to the library on Saturday, June 14th from 5 to 6:30. He'll be in conversation with Dan Shaw, who's a Falls Villager who used to write for the New York Times and started Rural Intelligence, about his book, I Make Envy on Your Disco, and also his experience as a Tony Award-winning producer.
Very nice.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about that. It's always fun to get new people in the library and to talk about, you know, what great work they're doing in the world.
Yes.
So it sounds like we both have busy weeks coming up. Which,
yes,
which is
we
great.
Do. Busy but fun, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much for chatting with me this morning, Leslie. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Me too. We'll talk to you next time.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut. Underwriting support for Between the Stacks comes from Lakeville Books and Stationery, 329 Main Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, offering a wide selection of illustrated books, fine writing needs, and more. On the web, lakevillebooks.com.